So first things first, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, man?
I'm not too bad at all. Where I want to start is obviously this cover album. It goes into a lot of the influences of the band. So I want to delve into your background, your musical background a little bit, if that's okay.
Right.
Now, do you remember the first metal song that you were obsessed with?
I think it was We're Not Gonna Take It with Twisted Sister. And or Stay Hungry. No, sorry. I Want to Rock, but from Stay Hungry, yeah. So I think those two were the ones that really got me going.
What was it about this rock or heavy metal music that attracted you at a young age?
I think it must have been something about the rebellious side to it, it's hard to describe. It's just something that hits you. Right off the bat, you can't explain it. You just really attached to it right off the bat.
And did you kind of always know you wanted to create that music as well as listen to it?
I think so. I mean, around that time in '84, when I was like 7 years old, there's pictures of me in front of the mirror with a fly swatter as a guitar and trying to, mimic my heroes already. So, I guess it was already kind of set in stone somehow.
But this is interesting that you mentioned the year 1984 because I've went through the songs and there are three of them that are not from 1984 and then one from 1985. But was that kind of the in your eyes one of the best years in metal if you look back?
One of them, I mean, you can take pretty much any year from the 80s.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, 84 was a really good year, I would say. Yeah, for sure.
Would
There's
you?
plenty. There's tons of records coming out that year. That was awesome. Yeah.
But as you say, you were 7 years old, so the way you engaged with that type of music must have been different by the time you got older. So when did it become more serious in your mind?
Well, it's I didn't start playing an instrument until 1991.
Okay.
I got pretty much thrown into it by a couple of friends of mine that had somewhat of a high school gig, and they suddenly needed someone to play bass. And I hadn't really touched an instrument before, but they were like, "Oh, we'll teach you. It's bass. It's four strings. You can just play the strings. It's rock and roll songs." And I was like, "Okay, cool." So from that go, it was. Yeah, never looked back really.
Did you kind of enjoy it immediately, or what did you really have to suffer for it, if you
Yeah,
put
it was a bit weird because I don't really like to get told what to do since I was a
it?
kid. So how to muster up the patience to learn parts of the songs and all that stuff was a bit challenging, but I'm really glad I did now, So otherwise history would have for me, would have been different, yeah.
And I find it funny because Twisted Sister, we're not gonna take it, so you don't like people telling you what to do. So I like that.
Yeah.
What I find interesting, you mentioned early 90s is when you started picking up a guitar. And in Norway, that was like early 90s was quite big in terms of the type of music that you make and in terms of black metal and those kind of things. Did that at all influence you, or were you more influenced by what ended up on this album and kind of the more British, maybe?
I think we in the early 90s or the late 80s or 90s we knew about bands in the Norwegian scene, but we were kind of too young, or at least I was too young to go to shows and stuff, so I was more getting my news from a Swedish rock and roll radio station called Rockbox in the from the mid 80s to late 80s. So that's how I got my news and updates basically. And I always like was sitting ready to press the record button on the cassette deck, So I still have those tapes and I play them from time to time just for nostalgic reasons.
Sure, but and this goes well into kind of the album as well. But what do you hear when you listen back to those old songs? But do you hear the kind of the time that it was recorded? Do you hear kind of the naivete of it almost? Or what do you hear?
Yeah, of course, and it had looking back, it has really shaped my musical taste. I remember especially that radio show. The DJ, he played everything from, hair metal to extreme music. So that was a good introduction to the variety that I like to this day.
Yeah, because if we take the first cover of the album, Black Metal by Venom, that's it is very raw and it is very unpolished in a way. So is that kind of what you liked about that music as well?
Yeah, I think so, because the influences that we have in common are pretty much bands of this genre, from Venom and Bathory and Celtic Frost, and then you have the more melodic side with Deep Purple
Sure.
and more 80s hard rock and metal, so when you fuse these things together, you can easily hear in our music, we have taken parts of each genre, so to speak.
This is funny that you say that because I was doing some research about you and the band, and I was looking at this. I think it was called something like Behind the Player, was something you did years and years ago. And you were talking about as you were growing older, your musical horizon started to broaden in a sense. And I mean, we're not young anymore. So how broad has it become these days in terms of what you're interested in, what influences you?
Yeah, I mean, it's broadened a lot since that Behind the Player time, even. I remember back then I couldn't really stand jazz even, but now I've been starting, like, the last few years to listen to more like dark noir type of jazz and stuff like that. And I can listen to EDM, I can listen to trance,
Okay.
and then the next day I can go to really old school dirty death metal. It's
No,
so it... I'm happy
that's
it's like
very.
that, because it broadens your horizon.
Yeah, no, what I like about it as well is this mentality, or you can call it punk mentality, rock mentality, whatever you want to call it, but it kind of expands across genres, I think. It's more an idea or more of a mindset rather than a genre or type of instrument that you use. So what do you like, or I should phrase it, what are you looking for these days in music?
Pretty much like when I was a kid, I want something to hit me in one way or another. There was a time in when I was like 20 years ago or whatever, I was more analyzing music and what I was listening to, and then somehow that totally changed, luckily, because now it's all about atmosphere and what either I like it or I don't, or it doesn't give me anything. That's not to say if a band or an artist is bad, it's just that it has to give me something, and that's where we're all different. And I think that's what's great about music and art in general,
Yeah, and I assume this is also true then for the writing process, right? You're looking for something that excites you.
Exactly. And it also has to kind of challenge ourselves when we start with a new song, and obviously try not to repeat ourselves or steal too much from ourselves. And that's very important. But after 30 years and so many songs and so many albums, it's you're bound to repeat some of your style, obviously. Even if you
Sure.
wanted to get away from it, which we don't, you can't. It's just the way it is. It's in your DNA.
Yeah, I have a couple more questions about kind of songwriting these days that you do, but we'll get to that in the end. But there's a couple more questions about your background, because one thing that I find fascinating about kind of your era of musicians is there was no internet around. So if you wanted to learn the bass or learn the guitar, or you heard a solo that you wanted to play, you kind of really had to listen and figure it out. You couldn't just go on Google and find the answer. So what was that like, learning to play bass, learning to play guitar in that time?
No, I think it was a good way of learning stuff by ear, and obviously later you get to see the tablature, and oh shit, it wasn't exactly correct, but I think it's a good way of learning anyway, because you get to feel the music more instead of mathematically like follow stuff, which is good as well, but to me, feeling trumps pretty much everything else, so So I'm totally self-learned, and I think that has helped me and the other guys as well to not be in a certain box, if for the lack of a better word. And so yeah, that's how we've always done it, you know, go by feeling and atmosphere. That's what we have always looked at black metal as. It's all about atmosphere, and there are no rules. There's certain how should I say, like framework to work within, but you know, it's all about breaking the rules, you know.
How do you find the balance then between, because this is also, I think, in metal, an interesting topic, between the balance between technical skill and as you say, kind of creating emotion and a feeling.
Yeah, there's a fine balance, you know. You want it to obviously sound as good as you possibly can, performance-wise, but at the same time, kind of keep that edge and make it sound like it's actually a human playing too. Especially these days, you can do so much stuff in the studio and stuff. But we're also a live band, so apart from the obvious orchestral parts and choir parts that we have on backing tracks, everything else is live. So you want to reproduce what you're doing, guitar and drums and everything else live. So you got to keep that in mind as well.
And now, when you're obviously over your career, you've done these covers, but also when you were younger, you play other people's music just to learn and stuff. What did you kind of figure out by doing these covers about songwriting, about song structure? Did it help at all, kind of learning how to play these kind of iconic songs?
Well, I think it did actually subconsciously, and then because in the beginning of our career, we didn't really think songwriting. So when we for each cover song we've done, it's sipped in the back of your mind that oh, this is proper songwriting. But also some of those melodic hard rock and metal songs back in the day was also made for vocal lines. You know, we have never really made songs for vocal lines because the vocals have been harsh, so it goes with any type of riff basically. So that's another thing that you have to take into consideration as well.
Because if we take, for instance, a band like Celtic Frost, what is it that you found in how they kind of make music or how they operate?
They have their really special way of creating songs, you know, ever since the Hellhammer days. And Celtic Frost was obviously a more professional version of Hellhammer, but I think that's it has this really primal feel to it, you know, really straightforward, but still it's hard to explain. It still has this composition feel to it somehow, and very raw and straight to the point, and with a lot of attitude, and you know.
How did you select Nocturnal Fear then? Because obviously, with all these bands, they have so many great songs. How do you kind of land on which song you want to do?
Well, that's the thing, you know. We first decided on which band to do, and then since we pretty much come from the same background musically, it's that wasn't so hard. It was more discussions around which song or each band, obviously. But we come to agreements there as well, and it's yeah, it's just our way of paying homage to some of the influences and over the years. I mean, there's tons and tons more, but this is just basically a little glimpse into our inspiration, so to speak.
This is kind of a mean question to ask them, but what is one song that you really still would like to cover?
That's a good question. There's probably a lot out there, but I think we had the idea of doing this cover album back to 2015, I think. So but then we got busy with writing for They Own an album, and we kind of put it on the back burner. So I think with releasing this now, it's we're kind of done with cover songs, at least for now. Never say never, but I think we just for now at least we put the lid on it. So yeah.
Yeah, it's Should I see this album kind of as the step between another album? So like you're writing for a new album now, and is this kind of to keep to give people some music in the meantime?
Yeah, plus we thought it for ourselves at least to just collect all the songs under one banner and update with a proper master so all the songs have the same volume. And so we did this pretty much just as much for ourselves as we did it for the diehard fans, who obviously a lot of them they already have most of these songs, but now they don't have to have them scattered anymore. And hey, it's just a intermediate type of release, and it's not too much drama behind it. It's as you say, it's something that we have to go along our 30th anniversary, so to speak. So it's a tiny little celebration.
And now the one band I hadn't heard for about was GGFH, Global Genocide Forget Heaven, which is I listened to a couple of tracks. It's a really interesting band. So how did you try to is it difficult to kind of make it your own, a song like that, because they have such a unique style almost?
Yeah, I mean it's more challenging than difficult, but we were really huge, are still huge fans of the band and what they did, and they influenced us early on, and we were listening to a lot of different types of styles even back then, a lot of gothic stuff, old gothic stuff, and some yeah some other dark stuff. I'm still a huge fan of Klaus Schulze, the German electronica master. So we took some inspirations from different genres even early on. But the GGFH song, we that's probably the one that we worked the most with in terms of trying to dimmify it. If you know what I mean? So that's I think we did a really cool take on it. Yeah.
It's very interesting with the more industrial sounds and kind of the textures that are a little bit more uncommon for kind of black metal and stuff. So it's really interesting to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in terms of attitude on the more extreme side of both genres, they have quite a lot in common. You can have the same approach, the same feeling, and that's very important.
Yeah, and we mentioned kind of you're as a band are writing music for what will become the next album, and now you mentioned that it's especially after 30 years of making music, it's difficult not to repeat yourself. Does it help having somebody like Victor join the band and kind of giving new life to some of the songwriting?
Yeah, it's always good to have new blood in the band. You get a different perspective, and he's also a really great guitar player. So there's no shortage of riff ideas. And so yeah, it's really helpful to have different people in the band that has different a little bit of different backgrounds and see things from different perspectives, so you can par with them, and that's been really good. Yeah,
Is there one band or musician that you really like that the rest of the band really can't stand?
no, I think we always kept it somewhat civil about stuff, so of course we have our differences in musical tastes as well, which is great because it calls for a lot more variety when we write songs, and we see it different, and one riff and then there's three, four people seeing it different. So that's mostly good.
With what you are writing now, and you don't have to kind of explain what you're doing, obviously, but what are you noticing about where the songs are headed? What are you noticing about where your own mind is at in terms of songwriting and the type of songs that you are looking for?
Well, it can be structural, what I feel like is half a song, or it could be just a theme that We elaborate together, or the other guys come with some ideas and we send back and forth, which is the good thing about internet, obviously. And then we get together when we feel like we have enough meat on the bone, and then we work it out from there, basically. And then we kind of finalize some kind of structure, and we just build layers on top of that once we have the guitars and drums mostly finished for the song structure, and then things is being added on, and then take a seat back and then pick it back up maybe a few weeks or months later, and then we that's when the producing part of in our brains kick in, and we take away usually layers, or we could add some if we feel like, oh, we need something more here or whatever. So it's a really long process, and maybe it shouldn't be that long, but that's how we work, and that's how it's been now for the last few albums. So yeah.
Well, the thing that kind of pops into my mind is that I remember that you in somewhere in the past you said this never was a commercial thing. You make music because you like making music and all that stuff. So with I mean, Aeonian came out in 2018, and then Abracadabra was in 2010. So those are significant gaps. What is it like for dealing kind of with fan expectations, because obviously fans who like the band, they want you to bring out more music. So how do you kind of balance that,
Well,
and
it could have been fairly easy to do Enter on Darkness Triumphant Part 2, and we could have done albums like that every third year or second year, you know. But to be honest, what would be the point in that, to have an album almost identical to what some fans classify as a classic, you know? So that would be the easy way out and the path of least resistance. And that would also, in my eyes, be a selling out point, because you would do something that's fairly or less challenging and cash in on that, you know? So, but that's not how we have worked ever. We never compromised, and we always take the time we feel it's needed to finish an album. If it takes 8 years as it did now, it shouldn't have done that, obviously, but it is what it is, and an album is finished when it's finished.
So is that the mindset with the new songs as well, that you have no timeline, you just it
we
comes
have
together when it does?
a yeah short sort of a timeline. I think that's good, but it shouldn't be set in stone. But I think it's good to have a time frame to work towards when you at least when you start getting six, seven, eight songs as we're up in now, and demoed with vocals and all that stuff, and the process has been we picked up the process now, so it's looking good. Yeah,
Okay, that sounds
it's
great.
sounding good, I should say.
One last question, and I'm going back to that behind the player thing, because when you guys were talking about growing older and that stuff, Galder said aging is the worst enemy to metal, and I found that very interesting and funny. So with a bit of separation between the person you were then and now, how do you feel about that? Is aging difficult with metal?
Well, that was the classic quote from Mr. Galder again, obviously,
No,
straight from the hip. No, it's
I know
I
it
don't
was
think.
more joking,
Yeah, but there's some truth to it, you know.
but nice.
If you think you're old, and it's like Lemmy said, if you think you're old, too old to rock and roll, then you are. So it's all about having the right mindset, and then again, I just look at age as a number, basically, you know. And in my head, I'm still 16, 17, 18 years old, you know. But although my bones have always been old, but you know, my head is still young.
Your mind is still young. That's excellent to hear. May I thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Hey, thank you. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.